What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the Women in Worship podcast with Lee and Bethany. Today, we are going to dive into part two of our conversation with our dear friend, Amber Rhodes Pierce from Dallas, Texas. She's a worship pastor at Gateway Church, and we really love her dearly. She's amazing. You don't want to miss the latest episode we did with her on longevity in ministry. But today, we're going to dive into the subject of rest, what that looks like, how to do that biblically. So get ready and check it out.
Hey, friends. It's exciting to be back with Women in Worship. This is Bethany and Lee, again, with our incredible friend, Amber Rhodes from Gateway Church in the Dallas, Texas, USA area. I don't know what it is about saying Dallas, but sometimes I want to end Dallas with yeehaw and or other obligatory cowboy references.
That's okay.
It fits.
It fits. Not that all of you are cowboys, but you might as well be, as far as I'm concerned. But we wanted to have Amber back for this episode because we were wrapping up last week that you got to hear, and we started kind of dipping our toes in the water on the topic of rest. And rest seems like coming back from 2020, where everyone made this solemn vow with one another and themselves, we're not going back like it was. It's not going to be a thing. And here we are halfway through 2022 almost. And as we've had conversations throughout the community, people are exhausted. Mm-hmm. So I wonder, as we've all kind of had the conversation, is part of it because of the schedule we keep? Is part of it because our minds and our bodies are in a different place after we've been through something like 2020, where maybe whatever portion of the world you were in, you were shut down much longer than 6 or 7 months. Maybe you were shut down a year. Maybe your church is just now reopening. Literally, the table is wide open to what that looks like. But I think today we wanted to talk a little bit just about rest, maybe how to do it well, maybe how we all don't do it so well. And honestly, just maybe partly how it honors the Lord and really opens our hearts to new things that God wants to do. So Amber, we are pumped that you're here. We know that you're passionate, honestly, first and foremost about pastoring people mm-hmm. and loving people right where they are, which is why we love that you're a part of the community. So if you had to say what rest, let's start with what it means to you first, because what it looks like to you is super practical, but really just maybe what it means to you in your heart and your ministry and your family, and how you have felt like through the years that rest has sustained you, or maybe lack of rest has kind of depleted. Kind of give us an overview maybe of what rest is for you.
I think rest is refreshment. For me, it's refreshment and a realigning. It's very easy for me to get busy doing the ministry work, and it's good work. It's all good work. And so with that, sometimes you kind of forget, like, it's good work, but it doesn't mean that I have to say yes to everything. And right. I have struggled over the years a lot with boundaries, and it's my personality. I am a people pleaser by nature. I'm working on that, but and I know a lot of women are. By nature, we are helpers. We love to serve people. We love to help people. We have that responsibility strength in us that we carry, and to a fault sometimes, though, because we don't know how to say no. And we can say yes to these little things and they all add up, and I'll be like, why am I so busy? And I look at my calendar and it's all these little things that I said yes to that added up.
Yep.
And realizing that no's are godly, and that saying no to something is actually saying yes to something else, something better, which is rest. And to me, it just means realigning, because a lot of times I can lose my focus on why I'm doing what I'm doing, and I can lose that passion. We can all lose that passion and that fire for ministry, for the Lord, even our first love for the Lord, and get so busy just doing ministry work and church work. And I think when I take a day of rest, it really refreshes my soul and it gives that passion back again. Instead of me walking in resentment and bitterness because I'm busy all the time and I'm tired and I'm weary and I'm frustrated, it gives me a moment to just take a breath in and rest in the Lord and trust Him. Trust Him. Really, rest is a matter of trust. It's trusting that if we take time off, even if it's just a day, a few hours, moments to just recharge and refresh, trusting that the Lord's going to take care of the rest, that we're honoring Him by resting, because He's asked us to rest. I mean, He rested, you know, He created the earth, the heavens and the earth. He rested, and He didn't rest because He was tired. He rested because it was finished. It was done. And I feel like if I rest just one day a week, that my other 6 days are so productive. Yeah. And I get everything done that I need to, because I'm honoring the Lord and I'm trusting Him that all those things are going to get done. And so that I can rest because things are finished. Now, they may not be finished in like the natural real world, but they're things that are not going to fall apart if I don't give them my attention right away. Mm-hmm. And having a healthy boundary to know that that can wait, and that it's very important that I rest to fill my spiritual tank, my mental tank, my physical tank, all the tanks that we have that need to be refueled, they're only going to be refueled by resting and pausing for just a moment. Yeah.
That's good. I love that you said, you said two things that I think would be really cool to expound on. I'm over here nerding out, taking notes while you talk. So if you see me typing, I love that you said rest gives passion back to ministry and rest is a matter of trust. So let's start with the first one. Rest gives passion back to ministry. What does that look like? I know it refuels our tanks, like you were just saying, but what does rest for you, or how would you encourage somebody listening who feels like maybe rest is really hard to come by? And therefore maybe the passion that for what they are doing right now is kind of dwindling. How would you encourage them to maybe find pockets of rest, or encourage them in their passion for their ministry if rest is a little less realistic? Does that make sense? I'm trying to say this super diplomatically, real talk. They overloaded their schedule. It's way too much. Now they need to be passionate. What do we do? What would you say?
I understand. I am guilty of it. And it's still a work in progress for me. I'm still on a journey of learning to have boundaries. You have to have boundaries. And I think there's nothing wrong with having healthy boundaries in any situation, whether you work in corporate, you work in ministry, and that it's going to look different for everyone. Some people do have that luxury of you get 1 to 2 days off a week, and what you do with those days, like, that's on you. And speaking from someone that does get a couple of days off a week, I can still say, oh, I'm tired, I'm overworked, and I'm not rested. And people would look at my schedule and go, like, you get 2 days off. Why are you tired?
Yeah.
That's on me because I don't have boundaries. I choose to fill those with more work and other things that have to do with ministry, just because I want to be about people and I want to serve, but that is not healthy for me. And I have to have a boundary of saying, if this is my day off, then I'm going to do something that's life-giving and refreshing. And a lot of times that we can get confused with things that are life-giving, but they're still it's still busy work, and it's still things that are draining us, and we don't even realize it, because we'll be like, oh, but it's music, or I'm teaching a lesson, or I'm going to meet with a friend, but maybe that friend needs counseling, and it's something that's actually sucking life out of you or requiring you to give of yourself, that is not resting.
Yeah.
And I remember so many times I would spend my day off doing voice lessons. And one of my pastors was like, is that life-giving? And I would say, yeah. And they were like, wait, before you answer, like, is it truly life-giving? Or are you having to prepare and think and work? Mm-hmm. Like, is your mind always at work while you're doing lessons? And I'm like, yes, yes, it is. And he's like, well, you're not resting. Then you're not resting. And I was just tired all the time. Yeah. And thinking that because everything I was doing was music related or a hobby of mine, that it was life-giving and was going to be something I could do on my day off. But when I really stepped back and looked, is this requiring of me mm-hmm. the mental energy that really I don't need to be using right now? I need to actually just be taking a breath and resting. Then I had to relook at my schedule. And if you don't get a day off, then it could mean you're trying to find some hours in the day that there's nothing on your schedule except just being and just taking a breath in. And maybe it's just listening to peaceful music or just being in the quiet if you're around people all the time. Mm-hmm. But even something that simple can refocus you. And just the Lord can speak in those moments and just give you a just new fresh fire for the people you're serving for ministry. But you have to be intentional, even if it's just a few hours, to shut everything off, turn off your notifications. And I'm telling you, even I was so bad about that. I would still leave my phone on. I would leave my notifications on. I would look at my phone. And I had to start literally putting my phone in another room, away somewhere. I couldn't even listen to music because the music was on my phone. And I would be messing with the music and then looking at my phone. Oh, somebody texted me. And it was like the Lord was just gently showing me, like, with your personality, you have to completely remove mm-hmm. the distraction. And the distraction was the phone for me.
Yeah.
And move it to another room. Just sit and just be and take a breath and let the Lord just speak to you and just refresh your soul.
So let me bring something out. The being is hard sometimes. The just sitting and being. I mean, I feel like sometimes I always have to have something in my hands, and the Holy Spirit is always constantly reminding me, put it down. Yo, I mean, you grab these phones all the time. Grab them. Yeah. I mean, it's just like a second nature now. So even learning how to be still and even spend time with the Lord is challenging. And you got a personality on top of that. Not everybody listening has that personality, but I used to be a driver. I wanted to fill my time with something to do. Like, I just didn't know how to sit in quiet and just spend time with the Lord. So I would like to just add that this resting, learning to rest, it's a learning. It's a challenge for a lot of people. But we are, you know, God didn't put anybody else responsible for us but us. Like, we are responsible for our souls. We're responsible for how we live our life. So that is all on us. And we do, like Amber, you said, there are people with jobs that don't get a day off. Like, how do we find that time in there? And I was thinking this morning about this call, and I was like, you know, the reality is you just have to do it. You have to decide you're going to do it.
Yes.
And it's not easy, but if you want to live biblically, then you have to figure out how to do it. And I think one of the best ways to do that is to even sit with the Holy Spirit and ask him, say, where are some things I need to change in my schedule? Yeah. How do I need to rearrange my life. Maybe that's letting something go. Even Amber, like you said, that you think's life-giving, but it's really work.
Yeah. And I tell you, it could be as simple as just speaking the 23rd Psalm over yourself. Mm. And, you know, he leads me by the still waters. He restores my soul. Like, just speaking that over yourself. I know a lot of times as moms, like, when do moms have any free time? Like, you're always on the job. You're always serving. You're always, but even if it's taking, you know, when you take a shower or, you know, you're in the closet picking out clothes, like, just taking those moments just to say, Lord, speak to me. And I speak the 23rd Psalm and I say, you lead me by the still waters. You restore my soul. I just speak peace over my life and I just breathe that in. And it's like, even just that moment alone, just it helps reset me instead of just walking around frazzled all the time. And I remember when my daughter was young and I was in ministry and I also had a nonprofit ministry on top of that. And I was burning the candle at both ends. And I was not good for anybody. Because I was so tired that I was literally operating out of depletion, not out of an overflow, but out of being depleted. I was on exhaust fumes. And that's not healthy at all. It's not good for our children, for ourselves, for our spouses, for the people that we lead. And so I just encourage exactly what you said, Lee, like ask the Lord, what does that look like for me? Because we're all wired differently and it's not going to be cookie cutter for everybody. Oh, this is what a day of rest looks like. I have to go to the spa or I have to do this or do that. We have to be intentional to make it work and lead ourselves well and ask the Lord to give us wisdom on what that looks like for us.
Well, I think the answer is in the 23rd Psalm. I mean, the answer is, and he leads me. Mm-hmm. Like, how do we let God shepherd us? How do we let him lead us? Which is going to go into our next point of rest. But how do we do that? Well, you have to sit with him and listen to what he says. I mean, what if we were a people, and I'm challenging myself because I have to challenge myself on this all the time, that actually everything I did, he led me into. Right. I didn't lead myself into, he led me into. Because that's his good shepherdness. that's his faithful fatherness. Like he wants, if we really truly believe and trust, like where we're going next, we will let him take us by the hand and lead us into those things. That's the original intent of how our relationship with him was supposed to be anyway. So I think a lot of this breakdown is sitting and asking God, what do I need to get rid of? Lead me out of it, Lord. And then lead me into the areas that you want to lead me into and trust him with it.
That's right. I also love, my favorite scripture is Proverbs 3:5-6. Mm-hmm. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. That's inviting him into the conversations and asking him. And he will direct your path. And we're so used to, you know, man has their plans. We make our plans. We put our calendars together. And sometimes we don't give a thought to ask the Holy Spirit to breathe on that, to breathe on our calendar. Lord, what are you saying? What needs to go? What needs to stay?
Right. I love that. I was walking, I started laughing when you said Psalm 23. I was walking a couple mornings ago, early in the morning, and the Lord brought that to my heart. Because I'll be super honest, I was having a hard time, even at 5:30 in the morning, my head, I don't know what it was about that particular day. And the Lord brought that scripture to my mind, and something that we stopped and focused on was he makes me to lie down in green pastures. And what I loved about that was not that he makes you like he forces you. He made you to create. You were created to lie down in green pastures. You're created to sit and rest by still waters. And so when we're not in those places, much of the time it was our choice which kind of rewinds back to what you were saying earlier. I love that you were talking about, you started filling, because this is everybody. You started filling your calendars with things you thought were good, or things you thought were life-giving, or things because they're part of what you do in ministry or in life. And pretty soon your entire calendar was full of that. And now you have zero time to do zero anything. And that's not to go shop and to get a pedicure. That's zero time to spend time with the Lord or regroup or rest. And when we were created for much of that part. And I think we mistake a lot of that because we're thinking physically that has to happen, you know? But I realized in that moment, for me, it wasn't just a physical rest that had to take place. It was a spiritual, mental, emotional rest that was needing to take place just for me to commune with the Lord in that moment, because the boxes were checked. I got up early. I was exercising because I'm 40 and that's really important at this point.
Amen.
It was early. It was still dark. My family was, there's nothing for me to do. And my mind was still racing. And it was such the conviction that I'm constantly looking for a physical rest. But even in the physical rest, I'm not even participating in a mental rest or an emotional rest or a spiritual rest. So if you're encouraging someone even past the physical rest side of it, what does for you, and maybe it's the same kind of what you've been talking about, but what does for you it look like to have a spiritual rest, not like break from, but a rest with the Lord as, you know, you proverbially lie down in green pastures?
Yeah, because that's so important, like you said, because the opposite of resting is in my mind is striving. Like,
yeah.
Feeling like grinding, like we have to do this. And I've heard so many people in ministry that I've talked to about rest. They're like, I can't because I have to do this. I need to do this. And it's always this striving, like the people are depending on me. They need me. I have to do this. I have to do that. And again, it's going back to, do you have to do that? Like, who said you had to do that?
Yeah.
Our ultimate authority and who we need to be submitted to is the Lord. And so did the Lord tell us we needed to do that? Or are we just assuming we're in ministry and we have to be at everyone's beck and call, which is not the case. Yeah. And I'm speaking to myself because, again, I'm one of those people that can fill my calendar up with coffees and connections because I do love people. And I feel like I need to meet with people. And I'm like, oh, it's just a coffee. What's the big deal? And then that coffee ends up being some deep conversation that's taking, you know, some of my mental energy and even draining me spiritually.
Yeah.
It depends on a lot of it. If it's very weighty, weighty conversation, it can really wear you down. It can put a burden on you that you're not meant to carry. And that can affect just that spiritual resting.
Yeah.
And like I said, it looks different for everyone. For me, it's actually listening to worship music and just worshiping. Yeah. Sometimes worship leaders, people in worship may be like, oh, that's the last thing I want to do. That's my life. I do it all the time. And so rest looks different for them. But for me, actually, it's going back and listening to some worship songs that just were from moments with the Lord that I'll never forget. Like those songs that just really connect with me and just, I just melt in the presence of the Lord and the just... it's just so refreshing. And so for me, that's what it looks like for me, is just to be not around people.
Yeah.
Have my favorite worship songs on. And I'm not even really singing them. I'm just letting the Lord sing over me. And I'm just listening and receiving his rest and receiving all that he has for me. And there's no striving in those moments. There's no, the minute I'm thinking about, I have to do this, and your mind starts wandering, I'm like, nope, no, this is the Lord's time. And he's refreshing me, and he's made me to lie down in green pastures.
Yep.
And like I said, even if it's a couple of hours that you're dedicated to your spiritual health in those 2 hours, and it like I said, doesn't mean you have to be, I'm praying and I'm interceding during that time. Like, what does a Sabbath look like for you? And asking the Lord, because it could be something so out of the box. It could be painting. Maybe you haven't painted since you were a child. And maybe the Lord is like, I want you to get some watercolors and I want you to just paint.
Yeah.
And it can look like a lot of different things. But for me, it's no striving. And spiritually, it is just letting the Lord's presence wash over me. And for me, that's worship. Again, it could look different for everybody, but for me, it's music moves me in such a deep, deep way. Some of my most incredible moments with the Lord were in personal worship times, when I just laid on the floor, face to the carpet, and just let him completely wash over me. Mm-hmm. And I would get up never the same again, with just a new fire for what I'm doing and for ministry and for people.
Yeah. I love that. Man, I love that. I think that's an incredible, like, just a call and a reminder that really what we do and what we're about is not the execution. I love that you brought up the word grind, because a lot of times we'll hear that we're grinding it out. We've got to get this week, and then we got to X, Y, and Z. But really, in the middle of the grind, maybe a great place to wrap up is just asking ourselves and asking the Lord, is this grind about my accomplishment, or is this grind about the people you put in my path this week that I can minister to you? Therefore, when I do rest, nothing's still on the table. You know, I think a lot of times our lack of rest too, are especially speaking towards our task-oriented friends, are people that love checklists. You know, there's still boxes on the list that we've got to get done before we get to the next part. But where are people even in the middle of that? So finding rest, not just in the ability of your work is complete for that moment, but finding rest just in the fact of who you are when you sit in the presence of God.
Right. Right. And I think it's very important too, to know the red flags, the warning signs that you need rest. It's funny. Our pastor tells a story of a time when he was getting ready to go to the office, and he opens his drawer and he looked down and he only had one pair of underwear, and he just got so upset. And then he went and looked in a sock drawer and he only had one pair of socks, and he started crying over a sock drawer. And he said, I wasn't even thinking of other options. Like, you know, you could do the laundry, you know, you could buy another pair. Like, he just started crying because he had no underwear and no socks. And he said, he went to lunch with a friend and he was like, I think I'm losing my mind. And the friend's like, no, you're just tired, because he had been going 4 weeks straight without a break. And I know we've probably all been in that moment where maybe something silly just set us off.
Yeah.
Or maybe you get irritable. I know sometimes I can get short with people, and that's not even my personality. And that's an indicator. Whoop, something's off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Something's off. And when you're not enjoying what you're doing anymore, or people are irritating you. I mean, yes, ministry is messy. You know, it can be messy sometimes, but when you're like, I don't want to be around people anymore, and things like that are good indicators. We need a reset. You need a bit of rest, because we're no good to anyone when we're like that.
Yeah.
Yep.
You know, it's incredible when you say it like that, we're no good to anyone. My first thought was, and so if that's the case and I approach God exhausted, the good news is there's grace.
Yes.
Right. That we receive at our time of need, even when we feel like we don't deserve it, because we don't. But the flip of that is if we're willing, maybe I'll just be a little Holy Spirit nudge. If we're willing to approach the Lord in such exhaustion, in such lack of rest, then what do we feel like people are receiving us like? What do people see?
Our families.
Our families.
Right.
For sure. We've been there. This past couple of months, I was telling Lee about this a couple weeks ago. My husband had to sit down with me. It was probably 11 o'clock in the evening, which is not a good time for that, because that's the moment of my day where I'm ready for my final popsicle and calling it a time. Yes, I eat popsicles at night, whatever. But he was just giving me that wonderfully kind nudge of, hey, you may want to take a couple days and reassess where you are and what you're doing, because you can't continue this pace. And he wasn't saying that because I'm not able to handle that. He was saying that physically, he was watching me kind of break down. You know, I was tired. Same. I love that your checks, which I wrote them down. We're going to do an Instagram post with that. So thank you. But I love that your checks were a lot about the interactions with others. Mm-hmm. Because like there's somewhat of a discipline that as you get older in ministry, you can kind of hide that. And you kind of know how to curtail that, you know, accordingly. But your family, like you said, Lee, your family is always going to see the real thing.
That's right.
So even giving your families room in your ministry, or because ministry is a family affair, giving them room to look at you and say, hey, you may not see what I see and what other people aren't getting to see, but it may be a moment where you need to just take a break. Maybe that's a day, maybe it's two, maybe it's 8 weeks, maybe it's whatever, but take a break. And spend time in the green pastures for a little while.
Right. People know when you're mailing it in too. Like they know, they know. And I have been in seasons where I was just coasting, getting by, going through the motions. And I see so many people in ministry going through this. And, you know, personally, when I really look at it, a lot of times it's a issue of pride as well, because it is, the world's going to fall apart. This ministry is going to fall apart. The worship department, whatever it looks like, is going to fall apart if I don't do X, Y, Z. And I'm thinking way too highly of myself that all this is relying on me. No. And that's where that trust in the Lord comes of, Lord, it is not rely on me.
Yeah.
I'm going to give this to you because I'm going to honor you that you said to rest. And in that, you're going to provide everything that I need to get the things done that I need to get done. And for this ministry to thrive, or whatever it is that I put my hands to, is going to be blessed because I'm honoring you by resting and filling my tank up again. Mm-hmm. And otherwise it's just pride thinking that, oh, well, I have to do this and I have to do this because if this doesn't happen, then this is going to happen. And it's all on us. And we think of it's this responsibility. I'm responsible and I'm helping. And it is actually a tool of the enemy, a trap of the enemy to get us so busy that we start getting irritable and resentful.
Yep. Well, I've loved it. I love this conversation. I think it's definitely worth continuing. So let's do that. If you guys that are listening, if you just feel in your heart that something that you need in your heart, in your mind, in your life, Lee, would you mind just closing us in prayer and praying for those that just need that? And maybe right where you guys are, if you'll just receive this. We've begun in this season to pray at the end of these and have had more responses from you guys by closing in prayer and just asking the Lord into the conversation. This is not just the three of us. You are a part of this.
Yes.
So, and we want this kind of rest for you. So Lee, would you mind praying for us?
Can y'all hear me? My internet kind of went out. Yeah. Y'all, can you hear me? Okay. Gotcha. So I want everybody to hear me, you know. All right. So first of all, Lord, we just take a moment to come before you. And I just want to lead us in a prayer of repentance, God, to say, please forgive us, Father, where we have put our trust in our own abilities. Yes. We've put our trust in maybe our calling or what we feel as though you've called us to do, when our highest and greatest calling is really to sit at your feet and to be Christ-like. Yes. So, Father, we... you know, just wherever you are right now, say, Father, just forgive me. God, forgive me. And Lord, we thank you that you are the good shepherd, Lord, that Psalm 23, we do declare that over each person listening and over ourselves right now, Father, that you would lead us. God, but Holy Spirit, we ask you to show us where you're not letting you lead us. And Father, we just want to recommit and to surrender again, Father, ourselves to you, our hearts to you, our mind, our will, our emotions, Father. We just want to put those in you. Father, your word says in Acts that we live, we move, and we have our being in Christ. So Father, right now we thank you that you are going to minister to everyone listening to this call. In the name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, we pray that you would enter their rooms and their cars, wherever they are right now, Lord, and that you would bring refreshing to them, Father, and that you would show them and that you would lead them on the path, God, that they could, where they can sit and they can rest. And Father, if they don't know the true meaning of rest, Holy Spirit, lead them into that. God, show us where we're lacking in faith in you, Father, to rest. And God, what that means. And Lord, we thank you right now. We thank you for everyone listening, and we pray that they would be blessed beyond, Father, what they even thought that they could be, because that's what your word says, God. Your word is our rest. It's our peace, because it's your spoken word written down, Father. So right now, we bless this call. Boy, bless Amber for being a part of this, God. We thank you for her, Lord. We thank you that you help her rest in her task-mindedness, Father. And we thank you, Lord. We honor you in Jesus' name. Amen. Wow, what an incredible episode with Amber. We love her. We honor her. Guys, make sure you check her out. She has some singles coming out that she's been working on. And we just want to honor and support her. She's an anointed worship leader and worship pastor. So make sure you check that out. Also, check out our website, womeninworship.live, so you can keep up with all the things that are coming. We have some events coming up. And also, we'd love for you to get into our community with our C&C groups. That is just community and conversation. Those are the foundation of everything we do here at Women in Worship. So make sure you check those out. And thank you guys for joining us. Stay tuned for more episodes coming your way.